Some years back, Delta Airlines ran a TV ad. It called 4 a.m. The ad shows various people getting up at 4 a.m. in the morning to start their day. The music playing in the background was "Hi-ho, hi-ho, off to work we go" from the Disney movie Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. The ad ended with the statement that the ones who truly changed the world are the 180 million early risers and go-getters who can't wait to get out into it. The gospel today offers us Jesus' own version of "hi-ho, hi-ho, off to work we go." But as we have come to expect from Jesus, it doesn't end with a salute to the early risers and the go-getters. Let's start with the group that got up at 4 a.m. That's where we find Jesus starting the story. With a man who needs day labor, so he goes to the market at dawn to see who wants to work. We still see the same situation today, with workers waiting at the local gas station or wherever for somebody who needs them to work for the day. Our instinct is to side with the early to work crowd because, well, they're like us. They're industrious, committed people, dependable. Like them, we clock in. We do an honest day's work. We get that job done. And that's all fine and good until the end of the story, when this crowd learns it's equal pay for everybody, regardless of when a person showed up for work. Here's where we all get grumpy, right along with those early birds in the gospel. We agree with them when they complain, "This isn't fair, we should be paid more." What we have to remember is that these same guys were perfectly happy with the job and the agreed upon pay initially. But as we all do, they compared themselves to others, their work to that of others, and that always leads to grumbling and complaining. It was Teddy Roosevelt who once warned that comparison is the thief of joy. Comparison, he said, is the thief of joy, and he's right. Because the 4 a.m. group isn't a happy lot at the end of the day. As we heard, the burr under the saddle are those latecomers. Now, here's where we're also quick to judge. We don't really know why the latecomers were late. We assume they slept in, or didn't have any work ethic, or just wanted a free ride. We all know slackers. It's like a cartoon one time that showed two workers at the office water cooler. One says to the other, "I stay hydrated by slowly drinking 8 glasses of water each day. I figure that's 1 hour less of work I have to do." Now, we need to remember Jesus did not say these guys were slackers. We come to that conclusion. Maybe they were up all night with a sick child. Maybe their 15-year-old dinner car held together with baling wire needed a boost because the battery was dead. Who knows? Maybe they had to see that an aged parent was fed and clothed and comfortable before they could leave the house. We just don't know the reason why they were late. So we fill in our lack of information with our preconceived ideas, almost always negative. All Jesus wants us to understand is that these people need the money also. They've got families to feed. We can be sure they're grateful to finally have some work. Yes, they come late, and that's all it takes for us to get riled up. Now we move to the most important person in the story, and that is the landowner. He's the one we hear say to the disgruntled employees, "Are you envious because I am generous?" We have Jesus telling us this is how God acts, with generosity in his heart. Not tit for tat, not $7.25 per hour, not late and you're fired. The bottom line for God, we can say, is not the bottom line. It's people. His primary want is to give to people, especially to the least, the last, and the lost, those on the edges who have nobody and nothing. History tells us that that's what God did for the slaves in Egypt. And that's why Jesus tells this story to us, to remind us that God's generosity is something we humans just don't and can't grasp. Remember the lyrics of that classic church song from the 1800s? There's a wideness in God's mercy. Well, here are some of the words to that song. For the love of God is broader than the measure of our mind, and the heart of the eternal is most wonderfully kind. Most wonderfully kind. That's just what our Lord Jesus is trying to get across to his listeners. That God is more generous than we can fathom. So generous that he lets it rain on the just and the unjust alike. We're not accustomed to that kind of unmerited kindness, which is why we have trouble understanding the landowner in the story. He's just way too generous for our likes. And as we saw, that's where the story ends, with God reprimanding the early birds for their hard-heartedness towards the latecomers. So we're still left with the central question. Is God fair? The answer, at least as we see things, is no. But what we often forget is that we who put in the hours should be mighty thankful that God isn't fair, because he overlooks many of our own faults with that same generosity.